Good morning. This is a kind of an easy paper. It's really a story about an idea that was floating around years ago, probably Lake Forest 82, and about the recent successful commercialization of that idea. And it's the story of Mesooptics. And the company that I work for now, Little Light Architectural Products. In the early days, when we were talking about all sorts of possibilities for holography, kind of on the side of the display ideas and the art ideas were these sort of functional ideas. And we used to discuss things like, wouldn't it be great to have a whole set of collimating optics that were HOEs, and we could just roll them up and put them on the shelf and unroll them and set them on the tables and various things like that. There were things that we did all of the time, many of us have done, which is make holograms of ground glass, for instance, to use for backlighting and object lighting and things like that. And then there were these discussions about making holograms to put over lights, to magically turn them into the perfect lights for display holography and things like that. And this paper is about that last idea and its development. This is about a holographically produced directional optical diffuser, and it's called Mesooptics. The area that this has developed in is the lighting industry. The international lighting industry is quite large. Worldwide, it's about a $25 billion industry. North America is about a $9 billion industry. Within the lighting industry, there's something called commercial and architectural lighting. And commercial and architectural lighting is it's a heavily regulated industry with very clear specifications for things. You find this kind of lighting in transit stations, platforms in subway stations, offices, schools, factories, things like that. This is an example of these things hanging down, these big structures hanging down are some commercial lighting fixtures, for instance, in a high transit area. Little Light Architectural Products, who I work for, is a company that's an architectural and commercial lighting manufacturer, and they've been around since 1982. And in 1989, we were acquired by a very large corporation called the Genlight Thomas Group. And the Genlight Thomas Group has about 40 lighting companies under its umbrella, including companies like Verilight, which is the largest theater lighting company in the world. They do all the big operas and they do the rock concerts and things like that. Canlight, Daybright, tons of companies, including Lidlite. So it's a pretty big corporation. The company I work for, this is a picture of their manufacturing facility. They make lighting fixtures. They install the lamps and all the hardware that's required to deliver light to where it's supposed to be. They're very well known, especially for their transit lighting. They've done Metro in Los Angeles and BART in San Francisco and a lot of work in Chicago and many, many international airports for pedestrian lighting. So this type of lighting, as you can imagine, is it has to meet very strict performance standards. You know, you have to watch out for things like glare and things like that. Traditionally, the conventional optical components were things like louvers and baffles and plastic diffusers and lenses and reflectors and on and on and on. Sometimes these systems can get very complicated and just full of all sorts of hardware and everything to do what this light has to do for the task lighting and things. So controlling light, these are all the kinds of specifications that you would find in this kind of a lighting industry. These aren't lamps that you buy at Home Depot. It's an industry unto itself with very strict specifications. Power consumption is a really big one these days, of course. So, okay. Oops. Okay. Lita Light, before they knew who I was, had started to look around for an alternative to the conventional optics. Ian Ashdown, who was the manager of research, he's now with TIR Systems. He actually came up with the idea of looking into holographic technology to find some solutions. So for a few years, they did a intense IP and public domain literature searches and vendor searches. I mean, they didn't really want to have to do this themselves. But then they kept coming to dead ends for the exact types of diffusers they needed. So that's when they found me. And I was brought on to the team in 1997, and we started just doing some lab experiments and some technical feasibility studies and things like that. So, during this time, Ian came up with this name, Mesooptics, to identify the new area of research. So the research team is Peter Kunal. He's the director of engineering. There's about 20 lighting engineers at Lita Light, not on the Meso project, but on all the other projects. Scott Santoro, who's a very well-known lighting designer. He's the guy that designs the fixtures. There's myself, and then Tyler Couture, who's our research scientist, and he's really strong in photometrics and all those kinds of things. He fixes everything. We had a prototype lab in 1998 at the University of British Columbia, and then in 2003 I got to design a really beautiful lab, you know, from sort of, you know, not the ground up, but the floor up, so to speak, and it's in this building here. This is Technology Place outside of Vancouver, and there's a number of research companies in that building. So we had these research goals, which were to utilize the holographic industry, the existing holographic technology. You know, I knew that there was this vast industry, and as Ian pointed out this morning, you know, the surface relief technology industry was quite well developed by this point. I did consider going the volume route, but at the time the industry was so well developed with surface technology that just was the route that we went. So the idea was to create photoresist masters robust enough to withstand electroforming and conversion into final production material, and to create microstructures that would manipulate light as an HOE of ground glass with very specific performance criteria. There were some things we had to avoid, like spectral dispersion, and we had to avoid any kind of zero order in the final material. And the main thing, and this was the unusual thing, and one of the things we were very uncertain about at the beginning, was to create a material that would produce this is a simplified polar plot. It's called a batwing profile, and you can see it's the opposite of a Gaussian distribution. So we had to, if this is a laser beam going into material, bird's eye view, then as you can see how the light is bent away from the main axis. And that took a while, but that was very critical to this project being successful. So anyway, let's see here. Yeah, so I mean, I my area of knowledge was holography, and so I basically designed this facility. If anyone in this room walked in, they'd think we were shooting masters for embossing or masters for, you know, anti-counterfeiting or something like that. I have a spin coating room, and I spin coat photoresist, and we have an optics lab with a HECAD laser in it, and your sort of typical dark room for doing the photo processing, chemical processing. What we have in addition to this that was unusual for me is they do an awful lot of photometrics. And so we have a photometric lab within our facility. There's a huge photometric lab out at the plant. where they manufacture all the fixtures. And we do a lot of, we're really lucky because we have access to the scanning electron microscope at UBC, at the university in town. And so we do a lot of, we do a lot of examination of surface structures and things like that using SEM. I do a lot of this. I sit and do a lot of that because these types of masters have to be absolutely perfectly cosmetically flaw-free as well. So, you know, we did a lot of prototyping and we made a lot of masters and did a lot of experiments and came up with lots of different lighting distributions over that time period. This shows that bat wing, that bat that actually shows the light. As you can see, the dim area in the middle, that's your bat wing profile distribution. And then in 2001, we successfully combined all the things we had to do to create the first full luminaire, as they call it, that incorporates this optical diffusing material. And in parallel, at the same time, I was working very hard with different vendors to come up with, you know, the best electroforming methods, the best ganging up methods, and the best method to mass produce the final production material, which Leadolite does not do. So all of this was going on, and we had to meet the usual things, budgetary costs. A big one, a real big one, and a potential showstopper had been coming up with final material that was durable in terms of UV degradation, in terms of becoming brittle. You have to be able to clean it. It has to be able to stay installed for many, many years. Architectural requirements are generally in the 10 to 20 year range. So we had to work on that quite a bit, accelerated aging tests and things like that. We had to have our photometric requirements. It had to be very aesthetically comparable and preferably better than anything that was existing at the time. And I wanted to be able to continue to utilize the holographic industry, to not have to, you know, start somewhere with something that would have taken 10 years to develop that didn't exist, right? So that was another one of the criteria for success. Material manufacturing uncertainties. This would be the final mesomaterial at the other end of this. I had to make sure we could maintain all those distribution angles, maintain the profile that we started out with, not introduce zero order, and make sure that the material held up. So, this is an example of what can go wrong, as you can see with this. You know, you can reintroduce zero order, you can lose your profile, you can lose your distribution angles throughout all of this process. So that was a very important going on alongside the mastering and the fixture design. So anyway, in 2001, we came with the very first of this new generation of lighting fixtures called the Mezzo X1. And we took it to the biggest lighting industry trade show and conference in North America called Light Fair. And in 2001, it happened to be in Las Vegas. And so we brought this, you know, we brought the fixtures and everybody was really nervous. Lighting industry is pretty conservative. And, you know, we didn't know if people would like it or if they'd understand it or if they'd care one way or the other. And it was, you know, we had this, you know, our statement with us and everything, you know, our revolutionary way to control light. This was it. this was the very first sort of mock-up picture of the X1 fixture. And that's the panels that you see, the translucent panels, are the actual mesooptics diffuser material, rigid material in this case. And that's a couple of other pictures of it hanging. You can kind of see, if you look at the profile of this fixture, you can see it's very streamlined. You know, it's just like a wing, really. And it's doing an amazing number of things to control the light, but there's hardly anything there. So when you go to this light fair, this thing was, you know, it was like it was so different than everything else that you saw. And This is another version of it. This is my favorite version because, as you can see, where those wings are going up on the sides, there was some lines inside the fixture, and they would image out and sort of disappear up into space and stuff. So the aesthetics of these things are really quite lovely. And so we took the X1, and we walked away with the Best New Product of the Year award, which was, we were just stunned, and it was an amazing accomplishment in a very conservative industry that could have just, you know, turned its nose up at it, basically. So that was a really big deal for us, and we were absolutely thrilled. So that was 2001. And so basically the technology was launched, and Lidalite started to really focus on their new generations of luminaires incorporating this material. These are taken right from the website. The production continued after we introduced the first sort of beauty fixture, I call it, because that fixture is about $500. Then Lidalite started into coming up with the new generations of fixtures, which were much more workhorses of the industry. And the first one, which has also been an award winner, is something called the Purifex. And it's considered sustainable lighting because of the meso-optics inside and the really brilliant lighting design done by Scott. These fixtures are exceeding all of the energy requirements that you have in states like California. So they're going in and they're not only meeting them, but they're exceeding them. So they're very energy efficient lights, so you can have a lot less light, you can save a lot of money in terms, you know, Lidalite would do a 50-story office building, right? So you can imagine if every one of the fixtures, you know, is saving that much in terms of power consumption. So so that's the Purifex, and this shows this is kind of what we call a standard 2x2 troffer, and it's a very, very popular fixture. These are down in like the $150 range. And there's many, many versions of this, and they're going out like crazy. I was in the plant one day I had to send something out from shipping, and I was kind of standing there, and I was trying to move around all these big shipping boxes, and I looked, and I realized that they were all Purifex fixtures, and I wish I'd gotten a picture of it. It was kind of like they were just like, oh, yeah, you know, because I don't get out to the plant very much, right? So, and the one that, is this, no, that's still Purifex. Oh, this is the new one. This is the new launch. This is something called the Vectra, and it's even more energy efficient than the Purifex. And this one is the launch that's going on right now. And yeah, so, and they make little tiny ones, which is, they're really cute, and they make really big long ones, and it's pretty neat. In this short period of time, the meso has become it's 30% of Lidalite's business, which is pretty phenomenal for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. So it's really kind of beyond my wildest dreams, really. It's been incredibly successful. And I do tell them constantly that it has a lot to do with this. I mean, it has everything to do with this industry, and that this was such a well-developed industry, the surface relief aspect of it, to be able to just plug into that and to know who, you know, the best people were and the right people to work with and, you know, to get from A to B without a lot of problems. So I'm constantly reminding them. So there's lots of patents, as you can imagine, and there's also lots of other products. 70% of Lidalite's business is not meso optics, but that'll start to shift more and more. And I want to say thank you to everybody, because there were these people that were so helpful. I got references from TJ. I did a lot of early work, like Tom and Chromagem. I even sent Scott to a Lake Forest to get him trained, and I sent him to Fred, and we couldn't have done this without all of you. So thank you, and thank you for listening. Okay.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you.
There are some questions.
Oh, here's a piece of it.
Melissa,
nothing hard now.
The first luminaires were transmissive, and I take it the ongoing ones tend to be reflective?
No, it's all transmissive, yeah.
So there's a depth behind those ones?
The troffers, yeah. Troffers they're about this deep, and the lamp is in the middle at the top, and they're just white inside. And then the mesos, the whole surface is meso, yeah.
Well, it's wonderful, but in the picture I don't see if there is a small beam somewhere so that you could look at the hologram in the room.
The what? You mean the ones I hide inside the fixtures? Well, I'm saving that for later. No. Okay.
When you went through your intellectual properties and patents and stuff, did you have any conflict running up against POC?
Oh, God, listen, there's so many diffuser patents in the world, right? We believe we have, you know, a unique product. If you did a patent search on optical diffusers before all the screen things started to happen, there weren't that many, right? But because of all the flat screens and everything now, it's like it's become a very crowded area. So, I believe we're fine. The patent attorneys believe we're fine. But, yeah, it's always a consideration in a field like this. You know, it's one of the reasons we do a lot of SEM work and, yeah.
These were all transmissive. Wouldn't it make sense to put one behind the light bulb and a reflective one also?
It could happen. We did some early samples of the material. I mean, of course, it's easier to get it with reflective backing. Not having it reflected back was a bit of a leap. So they absolutely can be used in reflection mode. Yeah.
Very much for your time.